Jean Openshaw is back with us to share some of the magic we've enjoyed, seeing up close the great icons of art and architecture in Europe. That's in just a bit. But first, let's enjoy the Easter season the way they do in southern Spain. The week leading up to Easter is called Semana Santa. It's high season as people come to witness and participate in elaborate processions through the streets of Seville and surrounding cities. I've been there and found it to be among the most exciting events you can experience anywhere in Europe. Concepcion Delgado is our tour guide from Seville, and she joins us from the Travel with Rick Steves archives to explain what's behind all their observances for Holy Week.
Well, to me, it all starts when you smell the first blossom of an orange tree.
Blooming orange trees.
See, that's the beginning of it. You don't need to wait till Easter.
Every little piazza has orange trees in Seville.
Every street and square has orange trees, and when you smell the first blossom, you know it's coming. You know it's the announcement of Holy Week, and life goes around that. And it's not only celebrating Holy Week, because in fact it's only a week, so you cannot celebrate that much in a week. So we prepare for that weeks in advance.
And so the anticipation and the preparation is a big part of it.
It's more exciting than the week itself.
How so?
Because you have so many arrangements to do to enjoy it in the maximum energy and attitude that involves a lot of your energies as well.
Is it family? Is it with the children? Is
family,
it shopping?
Or
is it
you're
cooking?
Exactly. You're preparing the outfit. You need to think of that weeks in advance because everybody wears new outfit, new clothing on Palm Sunday. If you're parading as a penitent, you need to have your things ready. So maybe you need a new cone for your hood or new shoes or new sandals.
Wait a minute. If you're parading as a penitent, you need a new cone for your hood? Explain this a little bit more. What is a penitent? What is a cone? And what's the hood?
Well, it's all about the KKK looking outfit, right?
That's right, because a lot of Americans, they look at the parade and look like, who let the KKK out?
They feel terrified, but well, we have born with that, so for us it's quite normal. Everybody wears that when parading during Holy Week.
In Holy Week, in Easter time, in southern Spain, people have been wearing these white narrow cones that look like KKK long before there was a KKK.
Not necessarily white, because in the beginning it was black.
Okay.
Because they were doing a penitency. But with the pass of time, fraternities adopted different colors.
What is a penitent?
A penitent is a member of a fraternity who parades during the Holy Week.
A fraternity is a religious organization, a group of...
It's a group of people, secular people, who decided to gather because they have something in common. Of course, they have a religion in common, and they started venerating a statue. And in the beginning, they had a social function, and they called themselves brothers and imitate the life of Jesus to the extreme. They also want to suffer as he did, and they started parading, hurting themselves. In the beginning, that was the idea. They were flagellating themselves or hurting themselves in different ways.
So whipping themselves, walking with a heavy weight on their head.
Exactly, or stepping on broken glasses and hurting their feet,
right.
Things like those. That was the idea of it.
Now, are these parades, Concepcion, different times of year for different saints' days, or are they only relating to Easter?
No, we have parades all year long.
So you're likely to see this any time of year.
See, sometimes people ask me, yesterday we saw a parade. What's the surprise about it? I mean, we have a parade every weekend. Of course, the most impressive go during the Holy Week. And that's when not only the floats, but the statues, which parade are the most popular. Because
we can admire these beautiful statues in the churches, but we've got to remember they are extractable. They can be taken out of the church, put on a float, decorated with flowers, and paraded around, but only once a year?
That's the point. I mean, statues were made for that, for parading.
For that saint's day.
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes they existed in a church for years, and then a fraternity decided to take it out, and it's only once a year.
And I get the feeling that there's different people, different neighborhoods have a favorite saint. Like in Chicago, are you White Sox or are you Cubs? In Sevilla, it would be the rivalry of not baseball teams, but different saints that are taken out in the streets.
Well, not really saints, because it's all about Jesus and Mary.
Okay.
But there are fraternities which have a little competition. My Mary is better dressed than your Mary, something like that.
So and how is your Mary?
Well, yours is always the prettiest. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But talking about neighborhoods, for example, we can talk about Triana, no? Like across the river and the city. Yeah. And there was a big competition there is an Esperanza in Triana and there is an Esperanza in La Macarena. And they were like rivals, no?
Rivals, yeah.
They are not exactly, but...
But there's local pride, neighborhood pride.
Yeah, exactly.
Concepcion Delgado de los Reyes has been a licensed tour guide for more than 26 years. She specializes in walking tours of her hometown of Sevilla. By the way, due to the late date for Easter this year, the big Andalusian cultural festival called the April Fair starts in May, on May 6th, at the fairgrounds just outside of Seville.
So when you think of Esperanza, this is Mary, the Weeping Virgin, or what is Esperanza?
Well, Esperanza, as you know, means hope, and that's what we think of.
So you see this beautiful statue. What does it mean to you when you see the Mary that is closest to your family and your neighborhood coming out of the church and entering the parade? What goes through your mind and your heart?
That means a lot to me and to people in general, because it's not only that is your or is not your, no, because it's everyone's, but is that Mary comes out and you can pray to her and tell her what worries you and you know she's there to listen to you. But it connects you with generations. To me, that's the most important thing, that your first memories are tied to the celebrations. I don't remember many things I did when I was a child, but I remember every Holy Week that I experienced, because I remember the first time I was parading as a penitent, or my brother was carrying a float, or that year that rained and we couldn't parade, or that first year when your father was not there anymore. Those are things that you never forget, and that's what makes it be so special in people's hearts somehow.
So somehow, you know, your earliest memory might be of Mary coming out of the church on the parade, and then you know that your grandmother probably had the same love of this moment.
Exactly.
And it goes back many generations.
Exactly.
It's a powerful thing.
See, it's very strong. That's why I think it's something that will never die, because it's all about feelings too. It's not only about your faith or... your image or my image, but it's about community.
And continuity with the past.
Exactly. That's a perfect definition to me.
Ho, ho. Paint a picture for me in the beautiful moment of it.
That's, I don't think you can experience that anywhere else in the world. There you are. Suddenly music sounds, and it's that music that really touches. You don't know what's happening, but everybody is silent. Parade. It's coming, and there it is. It's an impressive float with that statue of Jesus that you pray to every Sunday, and suddenly there it is. It's just you and that, or it's like Jesus and you, and goes away.
And Jesus is up against the dark sky with candlelights all around. The shadows of the cones of the people that are preceding.
The sound of the feet of the men who carry the float.
And all you see under the float are the feet shuffling.
That's it.
And there might be 20 men under that float.
See? And you have been waiting for a whole year for that moment, and suddenly it's gone and makes you go back to reality. This is life. It's an instinct of beauty, but that's what we think life is made out of.
And your great-grandparents had that experience, and your great-grandchildren will have that experience.
Will have that experience. Or at least that's what we hope. That's why we take kids to all those things since they are little. But it must be in our blood. I don't know why, because kids love it. They feel so attracted to all that.
And it is a privilege to be there as a traveler and witness that, respectfully, be part of the celebration.
See, I think so.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Concepcion Delgado. We're talking about Holy Week in Sevilla, in Andalusia. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Dennis is on the line from Yucaipa, California. Dennis, thanks for your call.
Yes, just a comment about Sevilla and Holy Week. We stayed in a hotel there, and the parade went right by us with the candle carriers that carry these, 5-foot candles. And they parade, and then the float comes, and then the band comes. And I was very impressed with the music. Gosh, they had French horns and bassoons, and even outdoors, the music was just excellent. It started about 4 in the afternoon, and then you could walk a few blocks and see other floats and parades, and it lasted well past midnight. And then you go have dinner about 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was great. It was fabulous.
You know, I've been in so many restaurants enjoying a good meal, and then suddenly there's a commotion and there's a parade outside, and you just have to leave your plate and go out there and be part of it. It's just, it sweeps through, doesn't it?
Yes, you do. And it's like, I'm hungry, but I can't go eat because I want to watch this spectacle. Oh. And it was terrific. We loved it. We spent several days there and went the year before also. It was just excellent.
And you don't really need a reservation or anything. It just engulfs the town. Concepcion, the hardest thing is to get a hotel reservation, perhaps, in Holy Week. But after that.
Yes. We booked, I think, 10 months ahead of time to get the hotel where we stayed. You can drive into town, but the traffic is very restricted in the old town, so...
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing for people to factor into their travels. And it can be in a small town or in Sevilla, which is the most famous celebrations.
Yes, and the color, the different colors of robes and candles, and the next morning you can go out and you can actually see where the parades went because you can follow the trail of wax that's on the cobblestones.
That's a beautiful memory. I know what you mean. You go, oh, there was a parade here, and either I missed it or I'll always remember that. And during the parade, you have all these beautiful, adorable children, and they're just really caught up in the excitement of it. Did you find that?
Yes. In fact, we had several of the children would come up and give us cards, prayer cards, and say, bless you. And it was really interesting that it's the young people and the older people and just everybody's, I guess, into it, as you would say, but it's definitely something worth doing if you can ever schedule your time. Make sure you do it. It's one of those bucket list things you need.
I would say so, too. Thanks, Dennis, for your call.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Bye.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking about Holy Week, Semana Santa, in Sevilla. Concepcion, you mentioned that Palm Sunday is actually a big part of it. So, of course, you've got Palm Sunday, and then there's a different religious event, part of the Passion, the last week of Jesus' life before his crucifixion on Good Friday and then his resurrection on Easter Sunday. How is Palm Sunday celebrated? What is special about Palm Sunday?
Palm Sunday is the beginning of the whole celebration. So now you have been waiting for this for weeks. You have been preparing yourself. Now you're ready, and today is the day when you go out and you say, okay, there we go. Let's have fun. And to welcome all the celebration is when people go beautifully dressed. It's the most elegant day of the Holy Week. We go mass in the morning with our olive branches or the palm leaves. To me, it's the cutest day. It's the kids' day. It's when they are more excited because they have one whole week to make their ball of wax grow with the wax falling from the candles. And it's the family day as well. Mm-hmm. And, well, it's the busiest day too, so everything, everywhere you go is crowded, but it's visually perfect.
And when the parade passes the convents, I understand the nuns actually sing. Do you have a chance to hear this?
Yes, many, many cloister nuns. You cannot see them because they cannot leave their convents, but they sing from inside.
So you can hear them?
You can hear them.
So they're cloistered, but that doesn't mean you cannot hear them.
Exactly.
You cannot see them,
Exactly.
So Concepcion, Semana Santa, by definition, is a week, the Holy Week, from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. And Palm Sunday is a bigger deal relative to Easter in Spain than it is in the United States, it sounds like. A lot of people will be planning to go to Spain and enjoy Semana Santa, and their focus will actually be Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Can we finish this discussion about Semana Santa in Andalusia talking about Good Friday and then Easter Sunday? How do you celebrate that?
Well, in contrast to what you may think or believe, Easter should be the celebration because Easter is the resurrection, and that's the reason why we believe, no? But we don't have that feeling because for us, Easter is the end of everything. I mean, a whole year thinking of a celebration, and in the end, it's a celebration. So Easter, we have to be happy because Jesus resurrected, but we cannot be happy in our souls because the festival is over. So for us, Easter is not even celebrated at all.
So Palm Sunday kicks
Palm
off
Sunday,
a beautiful week that you've
exactly,
waited for.
Exactly. It's the week you're waiting for, but then by Saturday, you're really depressed.
And then Sunday is Easter Sunday.
You don't
Sunday
want to celebrate anything at all.
So Easter Sunday, you're thinking about only 51 weeks until Palm Sunday.
That's right. There are even bars which start the countdown. They have blackboards and they have their countdown. So it's 322 days for Holy Week, and the day after is one day less. That's how it goes.
Until Palm Sunday.
Exactly.
All right. Concepcion Delgado, thank you so much for a better understanding of celebrating Easter and Semana Santa
You're
in Andalusia.
Welcome. Thank you.
How do you say Happy Easter in Spanish?
Buena Pascua. Buena Pascua, but...
You don't say it?
No.
Sad Easter. I'm Rick Steves, and we're taking a couple minutes to talk about the wide world of European art with Gene Openshaw. Gene's the co-author of many of our books, as well as his latest book, Michelangelo at Midlife. Hey, Gene, travelers always cherish what they call their magic moments. I love magic moments in Europe, and a lot of them are Europe's great art. How about some of yours?
Wow, where to begin? The Eiffel Tower at night, the Parthenon rising above the rooftops of Athens.
And the thrill of the first time you see Michelangelo's David in the flesh.
Yeah, Magic Mike, Alangelo.
Or how about the Uffizi Gallery? Remember that room where you're surrounded by Botticelli's Venus and Primavera?
Yeah, the pastel colors, the fresh faces, like the dawn of a new world, the birth of humanism.
And those famous works are definitely great icons of art. But what I often treasure the most are the smaller, more intimate moments.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the grandiose art itself, but the setting that's so special. It's like a tiny altarpiece in a church can be kind of so-so, but if you're there during a church service, suddenly it comes to life. The stained glass glowing, the smell of the incense, the choir singing.
You're totally immersed in it. It's like medieval surround sound. On the other hand, there's the kind of special experience that's just the opposite, when you're all alone, all by yourself.
Huh.
It's one thing to see crowded Stonehenge, and quite another to be alone in a remote field in Dartmoor in the south of England, right there with your own private 2,000-year-old megalith.
You know, that makes me think of a time I was in Venice's St. Mark's Square, which is great, but on this particular day it was mobbed with tourists. So I jumped on a vaporetto, I jetted across the water. 10 minutes later, I'm there in a quiet, out-of-the-way church all by myself. Just me and this glorious painting by Tintoretto.
Oh, I've been there. And in Rome, once early in the morning, I was all alone in the Pantheon. I was standing there under that huge dome, and when I looked up at the oculus, that's the hole in the roof, so famous and loved, all of a sudden, a beam of sunlight came down from the ceiling to the floor.
Beam me up, Mercury.
Boy, was I transported right back to the days of the ancient Romans. I can almost imagine myself wearing a toga and praying to the gods above. Speaking of Rome, the Borghese Gallery is great because you can see the art right where the artist intended it. There's statues by Bernini as the centerpiece of each room. You can walk around Bernini's Apollo and Daphne and just watch that statue spiral to life.
Or focus on a single tiny detail, like how the god of the underworld presses a dimple into the leg of Persephone,
making hard marble seem as soft as human flesh.
You can have a magic moment all alone with the art, but I think the best kind might be the ones you share with others. I have a distinct memory of you and me when we were teenagers. We were at the Roman Forum. We were sitting on a ledge overlooking the entire site.
I remember we're eating our humble picnic of bread and jam and, I have to admit, orange Fanta.
And we were watching the sun set slowly over the ruins of the Eternal City. Now that's a moment.
A memory made especially special because it's an experience that you can call your own. Gene, it's so great talking with you about the incredible variety of European art and how it can give us those traveling magic moments. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton with Casmara Hall and Donna Bardsley at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington. Andrew Wakeling and Sherry Court upload the shows to our website. Sheila Gerzoff handles affiliate promotions. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. You can find links to our guests and search the show archives at ricksteves.com/radio. We'll see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.